InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 42 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Tamala Huntley, who is a web developer and an internet marketer based in Florida in the USA. She helps service-based entrepreneurs eliminate technical roadblocks to grow their businesses. We talk about serving the customer, systems to make work more enjoyable and simple, work-life balance, living a nomad's life, preferably on the beach, and lots more. Let's get into the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from Tamala Huntley. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have here with me on today's episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast from Houston in Texas at the moment, Tamala Huntley. Welcome, Tamala. It's a privilege to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Jürgen. Thank you for having me. I am honored to be here.
Now, Karonda Adair suggested we get you on the podcast, so a big shout out to Karonda.
Yes, that's my online buddy.
Okay.
So we've never met in person.
You haven't met in person?
Oh. We've never met in person, only online.
Okay. Well, I haven't met Karonda either in person, but we have chatted a lot online. So, we need to organize a get-together somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so Tamala is an entrepreneur who helps business, life, and wellness coaches implement digital strategy with marketing funnels, with online systems, with automation and websites. And essentially what she says is, I deal with the techie stuff so that my clients don't have to. Is that a good snapshot?
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. I actually kind of changed it a little to encompass coaches, experts, creatives, and pretty much any service-based entrepreneur, because I kind of decided that I wanted to do services but also training. So I have a combination of both.
Okay, yeah, and you also have a lot of online training programs as well, don't you?
Yeah, I have, I think, probably about four right now, and then I'm working on one that's going to actually be my signature product based off of the process that I use to approach all of my projects and what I try to help my clients do with their online businesses.
That's great. So before we start talking about digital strategy and online systems and marketing funnels, automation and innovation, let's find out a bit more about you as a person. What did you want to be when you were a kid? What did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was a kid, the furthest that I thought out was to be a computer engineer. I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit. I sold Avon when I was 10. But I always wanted to be a computer engineer, and I actually ended up going to school for electrical engineering because at the college that I went to, which was in Florida where I'm from, that was the closest thing that they had to computer engineering.
Right. So computer engineering became electrical engineering. And did you then work in computer engineering, or did you end up as an electrical engineer?
I ended up as an electrical engineer. I actually worked at Texas Instruments for about 7 years. And I was an electrical engineer, basically doing, what do they call it, applications engineer initially. And then because I always loved marketing and business, I switched over to a technical marketing. And that's what I was doing from that time to the time that I left.
All right. And when did you discover WordPress?
I discovered WordPress in 2004, I believe it was. After I left Texas Instruments, I actually had my own bookstore. So I graduated college in 1997. I started an online bookstore in 1998. I taught myself HTML and ColdFusion and all that stuff. Databases. Oh. I did it the hard way. This is like before WordPress. So I did an online bookstore, and then eventually I had a physical location, And then eventually after that, I started working in full-time ministry as an executive assistant and or project manager, executive project manager. And so I did a website for church secretaries, and I used WordPress to do it. And that's when I first used WordPress. It was like 2004, 2005, I believe it was.
Right. And that would have been, what, version 2.2?
It was one of the early ones.
It's changed a lot since then, hasn't it?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. It gets better and better.
It does, yes. So tell us a little bit more about your current business then.
My current business kind of evolved from, you know, after I did that first website and then doing my own, making edits to my own websites and that kind of thing. Some of my friends wanted me to do websites for them, and then it kind of grew and grew into more of a side business more than anything. Because to be honest, I didn't like dealing with customers. and so, which is odd. So it kind of evolved from there, and over time, that's almost like 18 years now. So over time, it's just evolved and evolved into what I do now. I've always studied internet marketing and studied different strategies and that kind of thing. And so I've just, you know, kind of evolved with the internet and with online marketing. So.
Yeah. And I like your philosophy around, you know, keeping things simple, but having it as a system that delivers results.
Yes. I'm all about keeping things simple. Simple makes the work more enjoyable. You know, I kind of approach everything from an engineer's perspective. We figure out what the problem is, and then we gather all the pieces, and then we break it down into steps. And so that's just pretty much how I've been trained to think. So that's kind of how I approach everything.
Yeah. So what do you see as the biggest challenges in your business?
There's many. probably more than anything, it's always finding that balance between working in your business and working on it. You know, taking the time to actually do those marketing things, taking the time to actually do the things that grow your business, especially when you're in a service-based business. You can really get bogged down in doing the work for everybody else and, you know, then kind of being stuck in your own business because you're not allotting that time to work on your own business.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a challenge most small businesses face. And what are your techniques for tackling that?
I just decide there are certain days that I'm going to work only on my own business and not work on client projects, and having specific days or specific times that I focus on client project versus my own, and making myself stick to those times. Because, you know, on the day that I may be working on my business, I may get an email from a client that's something that they think is urgent, or, you know, something that needs to be done right away. You just kind of have to force yourself to stay focused on what your goals are for that day.
That's a great technique. I tend to do the same. Set aside a day, and so that's a work on the business day.
Yeah. I mean, you can look up, you can start out as Monday, and you look up and it's Friday, and you're like, what the heck did I do all week?
that's right, yeah. Yeah, particularly if there's some problem that is really challenging or takes up a lot of time because there's lots of bits and pieces to pull together.
Exactly, yeah.
So, how do you, I mean, you talk a lot about automation, and I know you're an Entreport user and a big fan of the digital marketing. So how do you set up your own sales process?
That has evolved over time too. I've gone from no systems and process to complicated system and processes, back full circle to simple. So what I just try to do is I have a system for getting leads and getting people into my funnel, And then once they're in there, following up with them, when people want services, I have a process that I use for service-based projects. And so there's a needs assessment or a form that a person will fill out. And then from that form, we would do a phone call. And then from the phone call, we would go to the next step if it's something that they decide to hire me. So, you know, the systems and the processes have evolved along with the types of services that I offer, because there was a time where I offered several different smaller services, and then I kind of got to the point where I decided I want to do bigger jobs, like one or two bigger jobs, and then at the same time work on creating more recurring income, more passive income that's not necessarily 100% passive, right, when you're doing courses and that kind of thing, but to really migrate towards doing more of those and less service-based things where I have to be sitting at my computer all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And Troy Dean says there's no such thing as passive income. So
right.
But recurring income certainly is something that really transforms a business, and particularly if you've got those courses, because you get a lot of leverage out of that, don't you? You put together something once and it's evergreen for quite some time without any further involvement from you.
Exactly.
Mm. Now you.
So basically, you know, just trying to make sure that I have an intake process and a process to close out projects so that they don't linger. Communicating during a job. So it at one point it was kind of difficult because I was trying to put two different types of clients in the same process. And I, you know, had to understand or realize that some clients are service-based. They're done-for-you clients, and some are DIY, where they want to do it themselves. And it's two different processes for that.
Mm. Yeah, that's fascinating, because I'm going through, I'm going through a similar kind of analysis at the moment and came to the realization that there are definitely the two different types of clients and
right.
It's two levels of budgets and kind of differing needs as well.
Exactly. Mm.
Now, one of the things we were chatting before we started the interview proper about the various places you've lived in recently, and you're very much location independent, aren't you?
I am. And I love being location independent. I'm not really a minimalist. I wouldn't say that I'm a minimalist, but again, I like life simple. I like business simple. Everything that I need pretty much travels with me in two suitcases. So I'm as location independent as you can be.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And isn't it wonderful with the internet today that it's possible to do that and still run a business?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think everybody kind of has to find, like, their own way in doing it and do it in a way that works for them. You know, some people don't want to, which I'm one of these type of people, I'm not really a traveler, per se. Like, I'm not one who likes to travel all the time, like, go from place to place every week or every month. I like to get to a place and kind of settle for a little while and then figure out the next place. And it took going to Costa Rica, my first international trip, it took doing that to really kind of help me figure out what it was that I liked and what I didn't like.
Hmm. That's fascinating. So you spent 6 months in Costa Rica?
I did. And originally I went there with the intention to stay, like, for a while, like, do residency and all this stuff, you know, after doing research, and I was going to stay there. And then as it got closer to time to go, I realized I don't really want to stay there. Like, I do want to visit different places.
Mm-hmm.
And so then my intention was, okay, I'll go here for a little while, then I'll figure out where I want to go next. And then after being there, I realized I don't really want to go different places all the time, like back to back. So it's just kind of, you know, going with the flow and just kind of figuring out what feels right, you know, at the time, and figuring out what works for what I'm doing at the time, and just kind of going with the flow. which as an engineer is like totally new for me.
Yeah, that's right. Normally you have a process that you follow strictly, right?
Yeah, very tight A.
Yeah. Okay, so what are some of the innovative things you do in your business then? Because obviously there's probably a couple of levels. You've talked about evolving the business and matching the client needs, but also the particular needs you have when you're location independent and traveling around.
You know, again, it goes back to my mantra of keeping things simple. I try to use technology that helps me to keep things automated, to keep things as simple as I can. I've always kind of been slightly a rebel, and so I don't necessarily believe in doing things just like everybody else does them or just because, you know, it's the way that it's always been done. But at the same time, when something's working, I figure if it's working, you know, don't break what's already working. So I don't know. I guess I try to just kind of stay aware of what my clients need, trying to constantly stay focused on who I'm wanting to serve, because to me, that's like one of the most important parts is knowing who your audience is. And then you kind of flow with what they need or what they want and figure out how to solve the problems that they have, because that's what people want from you.
Yeah, that's fabulous advice, isn't it? And I've been doing, as I said earlier, I've been doing quite a bit in terms of putting together training programs for different audiences and so on. And I always ask myself the question, okay, where do I start this training program? What's the first thing you need to know? And the answer is always the same. It's who's your audience, who are you serving, and what problem are you fixing?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It makes everything else flow. You know, not that it would just be easy, but it just makes everything else flow. You know, what are you going to say in your advertising? What are you going to say in your training? How are you going, you know, what's your messaging going to be? What kind of emails are you going to send? Well, you know exactly who you're talking to. All of that stuff kind of flows.
Exactly, yeah. So if you had a magic wand that you could wave and fix one thing in your business, what would that be?
Whatever would allow me to live at the beach 24/7.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, what would I fix? I think probably the biggest thing for me is keeping things simple, but also being able to scale. Mm-hmm. I always, you know, lately I've kind of gone back and forth between how big do I want to have an agency, because I kind of went that route where I had a project manager that was like worked all the time for me. She was still contract, but it worked all the time for me, and then I had different contractors, and it wasn't simple. I could just be lazy. I could just be using simple as a euphemism for lazy. I don't know. But so just trying to decide, you know, what do I need to implement, or what do I need to do in order to be able to scale, but also maintain the type of lifestyle that I want. Because I believe that success, you know, how you define success just depends on, you know, your personal choices and what it is that is relevant for you.
Yeah, that's great advice.
You know, like there's no certain number of you know, dollar amount and that kind of thing. For me, it's all relative, and it's all based on what is successful to you. I'm more of a person who is moved by creating memories and moments than I am by just a dollar amount. So this kind of depends. But if anything, probably scaling, how I can scale better and faster and still maintain the type of lifestyle that I want.
Yeah, you said a number of really interesting things there, which I think are great. Firstly, you know, having your own measure, so not trying to live up to somebody else's measure, and knowing what that is, and then being able to scale the business to the point where you can continue to do the things you love.
Exactly.
And it sounds like being at the beach is what you love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a simple girl. Beach and books and I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. So, a good internet connection on the beach would be ideal.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right then. Well, this has been wonderful. I think it might be time to move on to our innovation round, which is designed to help our audience. And they're primarily innovators and leaders in their field. So I'd like to give them some tips from your experience. So I'm going to ask you a series of five questions and hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers that's going to inspire everyone and help them do something awesome as a result.
Okay.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think it comes from listening to your audience and, whether that is, I don't go in Facebook groups and spending a lot of time in groups and things like that. I don't go in them to, post and try to get customers or clients and use it as a, way where you're constantly posting in different groups. I don't use it like that because I'm an introvert by nature, but I do go in groups to see what people are saying their needs are. What people are posting as problems that they have. And I think you can get a lot of insight, especially if you're in a group where your target market is. You can get a lot of insight on what people's needs are, and then you can, decide how you can serve those people or meet those needs in a way that is different than what most people are doing. Because so much of what we see now, it all looks the same.
Mm.
It all looks and sounds the same.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's great advice. And it comes back to what you said earlier about focusing on who you want to serve and who the ideal customer is and what they need. So, good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
I have surveyed my current customers. Again, like I said, I've gone into groups and kind of saw what people were asking questions about. I'm an introvert, so I'm not really like the kind of person who will show up at every networking event and every conference and that kind of thing, because that takes a lot of energy. So I just kind of look for ways to listen to my audience and listen to what people want and what people are saying they want, whether it's, going to podcasts, listening to podcast interviews, just trying to find ways where I know that my target market is and listening to what their concerns are.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the same message, isn't it? Listen to what people are asking or what the needs are and...
Because that drives everything pretty much, right?
Yes, it does. And it always surprises me that people forget that. So what's your favorite tool or system for improving your own productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
I would have to say I actually have two. Evernote is like my favorite of all things because I can use it for so many different things. Notes, I can use it for, notes for myself. I can use it to outline courses. I can use it to send reports or stats or things like that for my clients. I can just, share the link to the notes. Mm-hmm. So Evernote is probably my favorite. And then Entreport. I've been using Entreport maybe for only a year. Before that, I was using One Shopping Cart. So I kind of like systems that are all in one. There's a little bit of danger in that, but I do like systems that are all in one. And so I've been using it for a year, but I keep finding out like new things and new things that I can do with it. So I really love Entreport, especially in terms of automation and being able to have my funnel and my systems working 24/7.
Mm. Yeah, the marketing automation tools are great, aren't they? The power that they have to enable you then to automate a lot of the recurring communications and recurring questions and processes that are in place that just it kind of comes back to what you were saying earlier about scalability. It mm-hmm. really helps you with that as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I had decided that I would focus on this year was better copywriting and better using email more and better, like kind of infusing personality, more of my personality into the things that I write to my clients and, you know, the communications that I have with my clients and potential clients. And so Entreport has really made that kind of fun.
Yeah. All right. We'll definitely have links to those services underneath the show notes, so look out for those. And next question then is, what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Definitely communication. I think setting clear expectations in the beginning, being very clear about what's included in the project, what's not, what the steps of the process are and what they're not. And then just kind of, you know, making sure that you communicate throughout the process and I think a lot of times sometimes people don't communicate because we're sensitive mm-hmm. about our work and, you know, we don't want people to not like what we do and that kind of thing. And so I think having clear communication throughout the process and not being sensitive about your work and letting people feel comfortable in expressing what they may like or not like or what they may need from you at a certain point in the process or not. For example, I'm not really a phone person. However, I make sure that my clients know, okay, email is probably my first line of communication, but if you ever need to talk with me, if we need to talk on the phone at any time, I'm available for that. If you ever have a question, if you ever have something that is not clear or something that you don't like, I'm open to listen. So, you know, making people feel comfortable enough to communicate throughout the process so that things flow smoothly.
That's great advice. All right. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
It sounds very cliche, but I mean, be you. I mean, you can't get any more differentiated than that.
That's right. There's only one of you.
Yeah. And I mean, having mentors and that kind of thing is great. And having mentors for systems and processes and that kind of thing is really great. But I think you have to not lose your individuality while trying to implement processes and systems that work. You know, you have your methods and you have your strategies, but you also have to keep your personality and who you are. Just as an example, like, you know, using templated emails and that kind of thing. It's great. You have a system, you have the templates, you have a place to start, but you have to infuse your personality into that stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not hard to do, really, if you turn it around and read all the emails or go through the whole process of the sequence as if you're a client.
Right.
I think that's how it works. But it's interesting. A lot of my guests answer similarly to that question. They say, be yourself and so on. And perhaps it's the entrepreneurial mindset, because, you know, you're thinking back to the days when you're in the corporate world. That's probably not encouraged there, is it?
Exactly. You know, I think my business became much more enjoyable for me when I realized that it's my business. I can do it however I want, because, you know, I'm never going to be like the, I don't want to call people stuffy, but I'm, you know, I've worked in corporate America. That's not how I run my business. Yes, I believe in excellence and doing things with systems and excellence and that kind of thing. But, you know, like if you see me dressed up any day, it's a special day. any other day, I'm probably wearing t-shirts and flip-flops. That's just me, and that's my personality. When I write my emails, when I write my sales pages, when I post on my social media, I'm casual because that's just me and that's just my personality. And I think a lot of times people feel like who they are has to be hidden in order to come across a certain way, and then you just kind of end up being carbon copies of everybody else.
That's right, yeah. And I have gotten a few emails from you, from your systems, obviously, because I can tell they're automated, but they are very full of personality. It sounds like you're speaking to me personally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good job.
Thank you.
All right. Well, so what's the future for your business then? Where are you headed?
Ideally, I am headed more towards a lot more recurring income, a lot more trainings and classes, a lot more one-to-many, because for as long as I can remember, that was one of my, when I started online, as long as I can remember when I started online, that was one of my biggest dreams, was to take my knowledge and my, you know, expertise and what I know and turn it into products and turn it into courses and training. You know, ever since I was studying Frank Kern and all those people way back in 2007, 2008, I was studying Ryan Dice back then when he had first introduced the Napkin Project. And then years later, I become a certified partner with his company. So, but that's always been one of the things that I wanted to do. So focusing a lot on creating online programs, but also figuring out how to do them in a way that doesn't just kind of leave people flailing, but still offer some type of support for them. So that it's not just like you're just taking this course and you don't have any other interaction or you don't have any other type of support.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas how you're going to go about that, the support part or the follow-up part particularly?
Well, you know, the normal, quote-unquote, or the typical thing nowadays is like Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So probably some form of either Facebook group. I'm actually still working on my signature course now. I know the content, some of the content that I want in it, but I have not totally decided how I'm going to completely launch it just yet. So I think it will probably either be a combination of Facebook group and either phone or webinar, like type live training. You know, and since Facebook started doing the live, that you can do the live training inside of your group, something to that effect. I haven't really jumped on the Facebook Live bandwagon. So if I did use it, I would probably use it more so in the group than anything.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
Really decide on what you want to focus on and become an expert at it. When I first started, I was doing a lot of different things. I could, you know, put your ebook on Amazon Kindle because, you know, I knew how to do it. I had done it for myself. I could write copy. In my former life, I was a proofreader, editor. I wrote everything from brochures to small newspapers. So copywriting. There's a lot of stuff that I knew how to do, but it didn't mean that I should have been trying to do it all. And when I decided to really focus on WordPress customization and fixing WordPress sites so like I could take any theme and kind of, you know, go in and fix whatever problems people were having. Once I decided to really focus and become an expert at WordPress customizations, then that's when my business really started to grow, which it seems counterintuitive, but that's kind of how it happens.
That's right. Yeah. The concept of focusing on a particular audience and then focusing on just one thing that you're really good at or becoming really good at one thing is, as you say, it's counterintuitive, but it's always works. And I remember talking to a guest a little while ago and she said every time we've niched down more, the business has grown in leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast today, Tamala. I really appreciate your time and being part of the show and sharing your story. Where can people best reach out to you and say thank you?
I am usually on my Facebook page, which is Tamala Huntley Biz, B-I-Z,
mm-hmm.
And on my website, which is TamalaHuntley.com.
Okay, and we'll have links to those both sites on the show notes as well. And finally, who would you like to see me interview or hear me interview on the Innova Buzz podcast in the future, and why?
I have actually two people. One is my friend Lisa Wells. She is similar, very similar to me. Sometimes we're kind of freaked out at how similar we are. I met her at a conference once, and then we kind of just really hit it off like at that conference. But she actually works with Infusionsoft.
Okay.
And so she does similar in terms of helping people implement systems and set up their systems. And she also trains VAs. But she works with Infusionsoft and coaches and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Allegra Sinclair, who I also met online, she works with her current business. I think she's doing kind of two different things, but helping business owners or helping women increase their confidence. And she's just a joy to talk to. Just I don't know how any other way to describe it. She's just a joy to talk to. Whenever I talk to her after I'm done, I kind of feel like Superwoman, like I can go do anything.
Okay. What was her first name?
It's Allegra, A-L-L-E-G-R-A.
Allegra. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Allegra and Lisa, look out for an email from us, courtesy of Tamala, to come and talk to us on the Innova Buzz podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thanks again, Tamala. I really appreciate you sharing your time and your insights with us on the Innova Buzz podcast today. It's very generous of you. I've really enjoyed this, and I've learnt quite a bit as well, so hopefully the audience will too. And I wish you all the best for the future of your business, and let's keep in touch. I sort of be keen to...
Absolutely.
...keen to find out all the interesting places you travel to.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
And we'll have to organise a get-together so that you, I, and Karonda meet in person.
Yes, yes.
All right, thanks.
Alrighty, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed meeting Tamala as much as I did. She's a bundle of energy and provided some great advice for everyone that is marketing online. And that's all of you, right? All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Tamala Huntley. That is TamalaHuntley, or lowercase, or one word, innovabiz.com.au/Tamala Huntley for all of the links and everything we spoke about in the episode. Now, Tamala suggested I interview Lisa Wells, another digital marketing specialist, and Allegra Sinclair, a personal development coach, on future Innova Buzz podcasts. So we got a bonus 2-for-1 recommendation there. So Lisa and Allegra, keep your eye on your inboxes for an invitation from me for the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Tamala Huntley. Thank you for listening. Pop over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. While you're there, you might leave us a review, because reviews help us get found and your feedback helps us improve. And if there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future Innova Buzz podcast, please send them to us. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from Innova Biz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.